The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by our NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a free chance to score a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app. Yes, sir. It's been a while. We're back with the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, me, no voice in the guy. It's me, really, bro. Feeling wrong. It's Ralph from Virginia here at your service. Man, oh, man, oh, man. We had some road teams win. The playoffs have started. They say the playoffs don't start until a road team wins the game. Well, we got a couple of series that have started, and they've just gotten quite more interesting. A bunch of others, some that are probably over already. Others actually expecting to see a comeback. We got Scott Studio Rochelle here with me. Scott, what's going on?
Scotty, beam me up.
Surprise.
Yeah, overall, can't complain too much. I know yesterday was not a great day for me. I think it was the first losing day I've had of the postseason. But yeah, a couple of road teams ended up winning. Congratulations to those road teams. It was a good run. It was, what was it, 12 straight home teams that won? I guess Minnesota won the first game
one,
yesterday.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yep.
So it was 12, and then Doc Rivers got in the way, and he ended up seeing the Clippers lose to the Mavericks later. Games were kind of interesting yesterday, one competitive game. The Mavericks game was disgusting, but it was competitive throughout, so that still counts. But yeah, definitely interesting slate in the NBA. I think overall my picks were decent. The totals I did well in. I kind of just leaned to the unders, and that worked out, but the sides weren't exactly great. Either way, though, couple of interesting, I'd say, takeaways from yesterday's games. I'll let you start off. Which game you want to talk about?
Oh, man. I mean, 2-1 day for me on the spread. I had the Pacers and the Mavs getting it done, but I thought all the road teams were going to win. I went 2-for-1. This Suns team can't be trusted. Like, it's just, and I knew it. I knew it going into this that the Suns can't be trusted, because we've seen time after time after time that they just lose games they probably shouldn't lose. And I hate to continuously go back, but it just glaringly on my mind when Giannis was out on that Sunday against the Bucks, and they let the Bucks make everything. They made everything from free three. Bobby Portis had a good game, and they got destroyed in a game that I believe Bradley Beal played in, Devin Booker played in, Kevin Durant played in. They all played in this game, and they took another L on the road to the Timberwolves, a team that they dominated over the course of the regular season. At what point do they realize that this isn't working and this isn't going to work? Because now you have a whole different coaching staff, an entirely new coaching staff. You're still rolling basically with the same core players. You have, you know, your same starting five, Eric Gordon, added to that, and then you kind of played around with your rotation pieces, but still haven't found something that works. You haven't found something that works. So I think I'm getting to the point, and I think you've been there for a while, but I'm getting to the point where I'm just saying the Suns just need to, like, what more can you do? I just don't understand what positive move you can do other than blowing up the team. Like,
it's also worth mentioning,
Grayson
Allen got injured again. So one of the bright spots they actually found is now injured. So that's also going to hurt in this series moving forward. But yeah, you mentioned blowing up the team. Yeah, to go through the Beal contract, I know that we roasted the trade during the offseason. It's why we were all very low on Phoenix when they made this trade in the first place. Beal is getting paid $50.2 million next year, $53.6 million the year after. And he has a player option in his age 33 season, 26-27 season, of $57.1 million. He's probably opting in, if I had to guess. I don't see him opting out of that, because at this stage in his career, I feel like he's not going to get much better than that. The point is the Beal contract and Ishbia taking over had a classic new owner syndrome where he felt like, I have to make a move to symbolize this is my team. We're going to let the fan base know we're taking it seriously. And you blew up the entire team. You basically sabotaged your entire team's chances of winning because you overpaid for a third star. And you can't move him because Beal's had no trade clauses. He, once again, is getting paid $50-plus million for at least the next 2 years, potentially the next three. You can't get rid of that. You're stuck with Beal. Nobody's going to take that contract. I think you'd agree with that. So I don't really know what the Suns are supposed to do. Durant, we know, has had a quick trigger, so to speak, for the last couple of years, leaving bad situations to try to find better situations. He might leave. I'm not sure how much longer Booker's going to want to be around if the team's not going to be winning anything. A one and done with this payroll is a disaster situation, and that's where we're headed. And I mentioned that Grayson Allen got injured again yesterday. He was one of the best overall bright spots of this team the entire season. He kind of filled in for the Beal role because Beal was injured for part of the year, but now Grayson Allen re-aggravated his injury. I'm not sure if he's going to play the rest of the series. Yeah, the Suns are in a lot of trouble, and I know people can blame it on Vogel. Maybe Vogel's not the best coach. It really doesn't matter when all of your money is tied up with three guys, and Beal has really not been that great, but that's expected because we knew that he was going to have injury concerns. He always does, and he's overpaid. If you overpay for a third star in today's NBA and sacrifice your depth, you're probably screwed. And Phoenix losing in the first round might cause Durant to want to leave. It might cause him to want to leave. So you mentioned it before, you can blow up the team. You can't get rid of Beal. Beal's stuck on your roster. You might have to attach a couple first-round picks in order to get him.
But that's not the point. Like, I don't think that's the... First of all, they didn't give up anything for Bradley Beal. I will say that much. They really didn't give up anything. You gave up your first-round pick in that draft, which was Bilal Kubli. And no matter who you drafted, they probably weren't making an immediate...
Well, they gave up all the first-round picks in the Durant trade. The point is now the cap space is short.
No, so those are swaps. Those are pick swaps. Like, they didn't officially give... Like, those are swaps. They didn't give up any picks. They gave up a bunch of second-round picks. Like, they... Like, the trade, I'm not mad at the trade, but I'm just sitting here like, okay, you have Kevin Durant, who people deem as one of the best players of all time. You have Devin Booker, who people are really, really high on, all-star, all-pro type of player. You have Bradley Beal, who, you know, had his ups and downs, but people still understand that he's a really good player. Like, you have these three guys, and the thought process of the big three, when the big three basketball started, went into effect, and, you know, it went with the Heat and Boston and all the, it was the fact that we have too many options. We're going to always have somebody that can score. We are always going to have somebody that could score. Devin Booker went 6 for 13, 20 points. 6 for 17 for Bradley Beal, 14 points. KD went 6 for 15 with 18 points in a game two on the road in your first playoff series. I mean, you're just not – like, at the end of the day, no, you don't have the depth, but your stars aren't playing to the level that they should be playing. Yes, Minnesota is a really, really good defensive playing. Yes, Minnesota's a really good defensive team. That's what I'm trying to say. Minnesota's a really good defensive team. But at the end of the day, these guys are good enough that it doesn't matter. I'm always taking offense over defense. They should be able to find ways to score and get a better output than what they've had. And I mean,
whatever, you're not wrong. My point is, if you're talking about what the next move is for Phoenix, the Beal contract really limits the amount of moves they even have. That's kind of my point.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. You can't pay three people in today's NBA because there's so many. The rest of the league is better. This is not, you know, way back in the past where the rest of the league was worse. And so you could play three top guys and those three top guys can carry you for the whole year. No, the rest of the league is way better. So you can't pay three people and then think that those three are going to carry you against all the good players in the league. So, all right, NFL Draft is here this weekend. Sports Gambling Podcast has you covered with NFL Draft props, mock draft, and the NFL Draft Watch Party. I'll be there. Tune in Thursday night. Thursday night, Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page, and hang out with the guys for the best NFL Draft Watch Party. Look, I'll be there with the Giants. You know, Scott, I have no idea what we're going to do. Like, I have no idea. You know, in years past, I've been like, oh, we're going to go OT, we might go quarterback, you know, it's a mock draft. Really need...
You don't have to overthink it. It's a mock draft.
Yeah, you want. Like, But like,
I'm joking. I know you mean the actual Giants. I'm just messing with you.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I have no idea who I think.
Do you want neighbors or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm happy.
I think the
only thing that I'd be pissed with is if Drake May or JJ McCarthy is a Giant by the end of the day. I think that's the only thing that would piss me off. I think anything else,
hype, but whatever.
I think anything else is fine with me. I think if Michael Penix is a Giants by the end of the day, I am not mad at that. I think my worst possible situation is that Drake May or JJ McCarthy is a Giant, because that's going to set us back an immediate 4 years. I actually really like Jaden Daniels, but the Commanders are going
to
take him.
I'm not a big McCarthy guy. I don't understand the hype. Well, I don't know why he's going to go top five.
I literally saw his best throws on the way to that national championship. And all the time that I've watched him play football, his best throws came this year, which is concerning because I don't like taking people with 1 year of success.
I know McCarthy had they want a title. I get all that. But the idea that Harbaugh told them throw the ball one time against Penn State in the entire second half and don't even think about throwing the ball against Washington in the second half, probably not a good sign when your coach is telling you, listen, don't lose us the game. That's probably not a good sign, but we'll see what happens. I like Neighbors a lot. It seems like that's the main guy you've been linked to. You do need some wide receiver help. And I think you'd agree Neighbors is really, really
Neighbors. Neighbors, Harrison, all those guys. Like, I think the wide receiver class is so deep. So, I honestly, truly, I hope it's wide receiver. But I honestly, let's not talk about the Giants before I go into another depression. Please make sure you download the SGPN app for your free show. And guess what? You'll have a chance at winning a $100 gift card with NFL Draft Bingo. All right. We're finna get into the two games. Only other thing I want to talk about is, Scott, I really thought I was close to cashing 25-1 yesterday.
I got to hear what you told you.
Because there's no way that I would have thought that Mavericks and Clippers game wasn't coming down to a Luka buzzer beater.
Okay. You were close.
I mean, we were dangerously close, man. We were dangerously close to getting that 25-1 buzzer beater in the series. When I was watching the game, I was like, this is it. And I might have jinxed it. I might have jinxed it when I said that. But I was like, this is going down to the wire. And it did. Mavericks pulled it out last second. 96-93. Great pass by Luka to extend and just make sure they got the ball off the tightrope. And they were able to get the foul, extend the lead, win the game. And so here you have the Clippers and the Mavericks, where the Mavericks actually, outside of Luka and Kyrie, don't look that good. But it's the fact that the Clippers are just inept, like literally inept. They brought Kawhi back for the first time since like March. And, you know, of course, he looked like he had some rust on him, 7-17, 0-5 from three. And
you think he should have played?
Yeah, you got to play him. If you can play, if you can play and you're in the playoffs, you got to play.
It's a tricky spot because you're worried about ruining potential flow. But at the same point, he's Kawhi Leonard. Like, you're going to have to get him some workload.
You had to play
for the rest of the season.
You had to play him.
So
that one game where Kawhi didn't play in the Mavericks under it, that's not happening twice. Like, you had to play him. And so, that's why I said I like the Mavericks in this series, because they're going to bring Kawhi Leonard back. The Clippers are going to do the same thing that they did the last time they lost to the Mavericks, and they're just gonna fucking make excuses. Hey, chemistry wasn't there, this, that, and the third, blah, 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 and they're gonna lose.
To be fair, they never lost the Mavericks in a playoff series, but I get what you're trying to say.
Yeah. They've constantly, this has been the narrative around the Clippers, and I believe what people tell me. And there's been too many times over the course of this Clippers, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard run where people have gone out to the media and said chemistry, 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 chemistry. That's the reason why Doc got up out of there, because there was no chemistry. Now they're having the same issues with freaking Ty Lue. And guess what? It's just that this team and the players you have, while they're deep and they're talented, they're just not going to win. I don't think they're going to win. So at the end of the day, if I'm taking the Clippers or I'm taking Luka and Kyrie, I'm going to take Luka and Kyrie. And this was just step one. So now we have a series going back to Dallas.
Yeah, I'm just shocked Maxi Kleber hit a three-pointer late in that game, because I'm a very anti-Kleber guy. Having said that, he was okay yesterday. I mean, he rebounded the ball well. I can't believe he hit that three-pointer. but that was a big shot they needed. Truth is, PJ Washington had a couple of big shots in the corner that kind of helped stretch the lead out. Felt like Luka and Kyrie were kind of having to do everything themselves because the supporting cast, as you said, was not very good. Hardaway Jr. got injured midway through that game. I'm not sure what his
not even midway, man. He got injured 6 minutes and 6 minutes of game time. It's crazy.
Yeah, the point is he got injured, so that was one less guy. I'm not a Hardaway Jr. guy anyway, but hopefully he makes a recovery soon. You mentioned the supporting cast, though, was not very good, but a couple of guys made enough plays late in the game in big spots to help Dallas get the win. The Clippers offensively, truth is, we kind of expected this because Harden likes to go iso ball. So does Paul George. So does Kawhi. There's no reason if you have that many star-powered players on one lineup, your offense should be that bad for a large portion of the fourth quarter. It was just a lot of my turn, your turn, and nobody could score. It was really just disgusting offense from the Clippers the entire second half, especially, I'd say, early to mid-fourth quarter. And that's why they lost. They just had a couple of dry spells that kind of killed them. So that's all I have to say.
The NBA playoffs are back, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. The easiest place to play fantasy sports, you can play fantasy pick'em by picking higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists. It's points, rebounds, and assists, not points, assists, rebounds.
Par? You're not a par guy?
Nah, it's not. Nah, I'm not a par guy. 15 and a half under par. Jesus Christ, what kind of line is that? 15 and a half under par? Wow. Man,
is it a fair time? Scotty Scheffler. Is it a fair time to mention that ESPN is the worldwide leader in sports and they got par? Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Hey, man, this is what happens. You need DJs like, man, you need DJs like us up there that can give you the real. That's the corporate gambling right there. I want to bring real gambling mainstream. Points, rebounds, and assists, not par. Just let you know. Points, rebounds, and assists. Plus, you can make a whole bunch of entries, and it doesn't have to be just basketball. You can do golf. So if you want to play par and par, you can do that. You can do that. And so you can do golf. You can do MMA. You can do all this other stuff, NHL, all that. You can win up to 100 times your money with spicy plays as well. Underdog is available in 30-plus states. We're going to have our Underdog lineup at the end of the show. And new customers can get a pick'em special when in the lobby when they sign up. Make sure you do that and sign up into the lobby. And actually, let me see. We have a calendar. What's today's special, Scott? Let's see. Oh, wait. No, I don't have that app. Google Drive. There we go. Let's see. What's the special for today for our new customers if they tap in today? What's today?
Today is the 24th.
Jason Tatum. You get a special on Jason Tatum today. I don't know if you want to do that one, but, you know. Go ahead. No. Let me stop hating.
Jason, you're doing a great job selling this.
Hey man. I know. Hey, I'm sorry. The Celtics hate is gonna go on regardless.
We'll get to the Celtics hate in a bit, but yeah.
Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They just launched their champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure you tap in with that for the champions player versus player format in Florida. Hey, Florida, you asked. They delivered. Underdog is back doing stuff for you. Make sure you sign up with our promo code NBASGPN. Again, NBASGPN for Floridians and anybody else that may need that code. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code NBASGPN. All right, let's get to it. First game up on the docket in a two-game slate in the NBA playoffs. We have the Boston Celtics welcoming the Miami Heat for game two of their series. Boston has a 1-0 lead. Opened up as a 15.5 point favorite. They are down to 14.5. 203.5 is the total here. Injury report for these two teams. And I have here for the, for the Miami Heat, we have Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier. They already announced that those guys are going to be missing a few weeks. Josh Richardson, you already know, is out for the season. So expect to see Tyler Hero, Caleb Martin, Hami Yaquez Jr., Nikola Jovic, and Bam Adebayo in the starting lineup for the Heat today. For the Boston Celtics, nothing much to report. Luke Kornet is out. So same lineup for them. Holiday, White, Brown, Tatum, Porzingis. Scott, we only got two games on the slate. Would you like to play a game?
Sure.
All right, let's play a game of Rev or No Rev.
We need themes. We need theme music for this.
Yeah, we do. Game. Like a little. But, we need something. We need something some type of drop here. Everybody be having these copyrights and trademarks and all this other stuff, and it makes it really, really hard, man. All right, ref or no ref? Today in Boston, we have David Guthrie, Sean Wright, JB DeRosa, and that's it. Let me see here. So if we pull it up, while I pull up the numbers and you know how these refs look, and we'll talk about the little ref report, all of that. 14.5, 203.5 is the total. Are you rolling with another Boston 20 piece here tonight?
I had Boston in game one, so it actually worked out pretty well. Vellante and I thought that Boston was going to kill this team, and they ended up doing so. I'm confused by the total. The spread I understand because even though Boston dominated the game, it got dicey because, of course, it did. Boston no-showed the fourth quarter. Miami made it close for a bit, and then Boston had a couple of shots late to actually cover in the end. I don't know why this total dropped so much to 2.5. Like, I don't fully grasp it. It was at 206.5. First game landed 208. Why is this 203.5? Am I missing something?
Game two unders.
I guess. I just find the line moving fascinating because game one went over.
So far, game two unders are 2-1 in the three games that we've seen thus far. It's been typically something that people have played for the most part. I don't have the exact numbers on it. So if Casey is around or if anybody has the numbers on what game two unders look like, but I've seen it around in the gambling atmosphere that people really like to just blindly back the under in game two. And it could have cashed in that Bucks game, but the Bucks just couldn't play any defense. But they only scored 108. So I assume that's why the line movement. People are jumping in on the unders. That's why I assume.
Yeah, I think if I was going to take an under, it might be Miami team total under, because I don't think talent-wise they really have many options. DeLon Wright played really well in game one, but Bam, we know, is going to put up points because the Knicks never – Celtics never stop any centers. So maybe Bam has another good game. Hero was brutal. So maybe you're expecting him to bounce back, but Miami does not have really any actual ball handlers or shot creators on the entire team right now, and that's why I thought Boston was going to sweep. I have Boston to sweep them in the series, but maybe they'll slip up once in Miami. I'm going to lean Boston, though. Things occasionally get stagnant with their half-court offense, but they can shoot the ball really well from the outside. We saw Hauser have a big game. Pritchard had a good half. Tatum did not shoot well, but he had a triple-double. Brown didn't do much, but he was okay, I guess. And Porzingis played well. I just think Boston is too much talent for this Miami team. And I think in the Garden, or in TD Garden, I think they're in line to play well again. I'm going to lean Boston. I think I prefer first half. The truth is, the actual play that I had for game one, I had wire to wire. I just had Boston to lead after every quarter, and that was minus 135. I'll just run that back, because if they open up a massive lead, you're in good shape, and that's what happened. They were up by about 30 in the third quarter, and I was just cruising at that point. I'm going to take Boston wire to wire again. I think that's probably the way I'll go about it, but it's mostly based on the fact Miami can't score. I just don't think they have much talent, and I think the Celtics, unless they completely overlook their opponent, which we think can happen with Missoula, I think losing to this team might help keep their focus, especially from last year, because that was the embarrassing moment. I think they've had this matchup circled, and they want to show that last year was a fluke. It wasn't, but you get my point. They want to show that they're ready for revenge. I'll go with Boston wire to wire again. They're just the better team, and it's not really that close. If Butler was healthy, maybe we can talk about it. But Rozier's out too. It's a couple of really big pieces offensively for Miami. I'm going to lean to Boston wire to wire.
Game two unders 5-1 this year for game two, 5-1. Well, I'm not taking Boston.
I know you're not going to. Do you agree with my wire-to-wire angle if you were going to take Boston in any way? Because I don't want to lay 14.5.
No, because I really could see a world of possibility where Miami gets up for the first quarter. And, you're down 0-1. Everybody's already counting you out. You're a huge underdog both of these games. You really have nothing else to lose but to go out there and just hoop. Like, to just go out there and just play free and – you know, we'll make in-game adjustments and we'll see what happens. But just go out there and play free and let's go out there and compete. And so I think that they're going to go out there and compete today. I'm taking the points, 14 and a half. I'm not laying this amount of points with Boston at all. I'm not taking Boston at all. But I think that this is a get-up spot for them in terms of, all right, now – you know, you've gotten the first game under your belt. The immense pressure is gone. You understand that you're down in the series and you're going to be a big underdog and they smacked you game one. Now take it a little bit personal, make some adjustments and come in there game two firing. Like, so that's the only reason why I wouldn't get behind a wire-to-wire bet personally is because I just think that there's a possibility. Even if Boston does, this goes exactly opposite of how I say and Boston controls this game. I could see the Heat jumping out really early in the first quarter. So a little concerned about that, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna bank on Joe Mazzulla and Boston to do whatever happens when they get overly confident. They start bullshitting and they don't end up covering the spread. Like that's ultimately what happens. We saw it in the Kings game. We saw it in the Lakers game. We saw it in the Minnesota game. We've seen it multiple times. This team gets overly confident. There's an out or something on the other side. They know they like, hey, we're good. We're going to do this. We're the number one team in the league. And then they bullshit to where they either take a L or they don't cover the spread. I don't want to take that chance with 14 and a half points. So Miami Heat plus 14 and a half. And the total. Let's run through the ref report before we hit that total. David Guthrie, lead official for tonight. Where are you, my friend David? Total, he is 29 and 23 to the over this season. Who else is on the call for tonight that I said? Sean Wright is on the call tonight as well. Sean Wright is 36 and 29 to the over. So we have two over refs and JB DeRosa. JB DeRosa is 30 and 32. It's always 2-1. Like, it's always 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. But 30 and 32 to the over, slightly under.
Well, so I'm going to ask, if you're picking Miami to actually keep this game close and you like the under, who are you picking to step up offensively for Miami? You think Hero bounces back? Bam? Do you like Hawkes? Who are you going with?
Quiet as kept. What if Caleb Martin taps back into the mode he was in playing Boston?
Could be. I mean, people think that he had a dirty shot on Tatum, even though Drew clearly shoved him in the back. So maybe he just gets up for the game. Who knows?
Yeah, but like maybe he just like just he because he's been catching. You know how Celtics fans be. So like, you know, they were giving it to him online. Pause. No Diddy. Whoa, that was insane. But you know that they were. I can't even say that without.
And you saw the replay. I mean, Holiday clearly just gave him.
No, he clearly pushed him, and then it's like. Fate tough guys, man. It's a lot of fate tough guys. I'll just say that. But I understand sticking up for your teammates, so I do appreciate that much. But fate tough guys. Two or three and a half is a really low fucking total, man.
It is. I mean, I would slam the under, and if it was a Magic game total, but Celtics Heat, I don't know about that one. I just find it interesting. I know that you like game two unders, but 203 and a half. Like, I don't get why this line's dropped like basically 6 points or 5 points more than game one.
I'm gonna follow the movement. Give me under 203 and a half. I'm gonna follow the movement. Everything I've been pretty good. So yeah, I'm gonna follow the movement. Under 203 and a half for this one. Ultimately, if Boston goes out there and scores 120 points, it's gonna be really hard for Miami to keep up anyway. So they're gonna have to keep them to a low total.
If Miami's gonna cover, the game's going under. I just don't see them scoring, but I mean, Miami also had 2 points in like the first 6 minutes of the game and still ended up with 94. So there's a couple ways to look at it, but I think I'll lean over, but it's mostly just based on this total being a bit low. A couple ways to get there. Maybe Miami breaks 100 somehow and they lose a route. Maybe Boston just kills them and they stop trying defensively. Or maybe just end up seeing a somewhat close game, get some free throw shooting at the end, maybe get some shenanigans, but I'll lean to the over. I'm not going to bet it, but I think this total's a bit low. I'm going to reserve all 203s and lower for the Magic and Cavs games. So any other series with a total this low, I'll probably take the over.
Fahrenheit 451s on Pritchard points, Hauser points, Wright points, Pritchard assists. Okay, so a bunch of role players for him. I feel it, especially if it gets to be a blowout. Yeah, I feel that.
I had Hauser in game one, and that was at 5.5, and that cashed in, I think, a quarter and a half. So
yeah. Let's see here. And we'll say, he says, I plays. He says, Jamie points have been good in the playoffs so far. Yeah, they have. That's my guy. Y'all know that's my guy. I'm definitely on him today, too. Let's just go ahead and get the player props. Because, yes, I'm on Hami Akes Jr. I am on Caleb Martin. And I'm just going to play that angle that he's just really pissed off because they did try him. They really did try him. And so he's pissed off. And he's had success against the Celtics in the past. Like, he's had – but it's just different because Butler's not here to command that attention. So, yeah. Like, they can't –
I only feel like the rebounds for Martin because we saw Martin go crazy on the boards against Boston last year.
You know what? What is his rebounds at? They are at 3.5. Yeah. Well, it is. I would probably take it up. It's at minus 160. I don't know if I want to pay minus 160 for Caleb Martin. I think I'd rather just take the plus money. When did he finish?
You get what I'm trying to say.
You finished with six?
I don't have that in front of me. I have to pull that.
Let's see. Game one, Caleb Martin. Four. He had four. Okay.
Okay.
But he only played 29 minutes. There's
for
a
reference,
there.
By the way, he's had at least four rebounds in six straight games.
There's a path there.
He had 10 rebounding chances, though, against Boston, so he had a couple of opportunities to get more.
Yeah, I think there's a path there for him. I do. All right, I'm on Caleb Martin today.
I like the one right that was mentioned by Fahrenheit. I see him at 5.5 points, and the total's too low. You're looking at how he did in game one. He's one of the only guys on Miami who actually did something in game one offensively, and Miami does not really have many options offensively. He might also have to play more because of the fact that Rozier's still injured, so they're kind of short of point guard. 5.5, though, I think it's very low. Wright was great in game one, and he played like 25, 26 minutes. I just think there's a couple ways to get there. Is he a member of the garbage time lineup? He might be. He's a bench player, mm-hmm. And on top of that, he might actually get some minutes because they don't have enough guard depth. So, yeah, I like DeLon Wright over 5.5. I'm not the biggest fan of Miami's offense, but somebody's going to have to do something. A couple of game scripts there. I like DeLon Wright over 5.5.
Jaylen Brown over 20.5.
Okay.
I don't know. Can we please get rid of this 1A, 1B thing or the fact that people are just so convinced that Jason Tatum is the clear-cut number one in Boston?
To be fair, he had a triple-double in game one, so I think that's pretty fair at this point. But I get what you're trying to say. Tatum might be an overrated player, but I think historically speaking, he dropped 15
he's not,
in game
he's,
seven.
But all I'm saying is he took less shots. He shot better. He looked overall better in the game on the offensive end. Aside from, you know, Jason Tatum just doing, he rebounds the ball really well. He assists the ball really well. That's not Jaylen Brown's game. Jaylen Brown's just going to, hey, when you get to me, I'm going to go out and try to score. Like, I'm on Jaylen Brown's points. I think this is the big Jaylen Brown game where this game is a close game and they count on Jaylen Brown, not Jason Tatum, to carry them and get them the win here. So, Jaylen Brown over 20.5. I think he has a really, 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 really good efficient day.
I get what you're trying to say, though. I don't think the gap between Tatum and Brown is as big as people make it one, as people make it out to be. But I do think
it's literally who they decide they want to be the one that day. Like, I don't even think that it's like, I think they're both ones. I think they just decide, okay, today's the Jaylen Brown day. Okay, today's the Jason Tatum day. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen until they get on the court and they see them playing and like, oh, all right, I guess it's the Jaylen Brown day.
I get it. If I had to pick two, I'll take the guy with the triple-double and the guy who dropped 50 in a game seven last year. If I had to pick who I think is better, but I think Brown is close. Let's put it that way.
Like, Jaylen Brown hasn't had big games.
I mean, 50 in a game seven is 50 in a game seven. Like, that's a number one option on a team. I think Tatum's better than Brown, but it's close. I don't think it's a wide margin, but I think Tatum's a better player.
They haven't won a championship with Jason Tatum as the one. I will make that known.
Yeah, but we can't talk about playoff struggles, though, because Brown couldn't dribble with his left hand. He's gotten better.
No, he can't. No, he can't. But I'm just saying, like, it's this clear cut. Oh, Jason Tatum. But yet, whenever you lose, Tatum literally is the first person everybody blames because he's not that guy in the clutch.
I'm not saying Tatum is like a top five. I'm not saying he's a top five player in the league. I don't think he is, but I think he's better than Jaylen Brown. That's the argument we're having right now. I think that it's closer than the media wants to make it out to be, but
I disagree. I think they're in the same tier.
Okay.
All right. AG1. We have, oh man. I mean, so if you start to feel sluggish, if you're not focused like I am, as somebody who suffers from ADHD, you could find anything else that can help get you on track. Your digestive system is wrong. If you're really, really stressed, all of that can. The word is that all of that goes into your health. Health is wealth. That's what I'm trying to get behind you people. Health is wealth here. Stress, sluggish, you're not focused, your digestive system. But guess what? When you start drinking AG1 daily, oh, well, all of that can be changed. You could feel a difference in your daily health. You could have energy. You could be relaxed. You could be focused. It could be everything, because AG1 is foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs, gut optimization, stress management, immune support, all of that. Since 2010, AG1 has been led the future. They've led the future in it. So look, not only did I replace the thousands of pills and multivitamins and all that stuff with just a scoop of AG1, it comes with vitamin C, zinc, B vitamins, magnesium, folate, all these other words that I can't even pronounce. I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Like, it has everything you need. I recommend it to my family and friends because they have a team of doctors and scientists that are 100% there to help and make sure that we are giving you the best possible product that can help your everyday life. So, helps the energy, helps your gut health, helps all of that. If you want to take ownership of your health and start with AG1, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/SGPN. That's drinkag1.com/SGPN to check it out. We also have the football contest. Look, thinking of entering Circa Survivor or Circa Millions, but you don't live in Nevada? Guess what? Sign up in Las Vegas and submit your picks to a proxy. You can hire one and they can submit your picks for you every single week for your chance to win millions of dollars. We partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at Football Contest Proxy. That's what they're called, footballcontestproxy.com. If you use the promo code SGPN, you will save $50 at checkout in proxy fees. So save $50 in proxy fees. Go to footballproxy.com. That's footballproxy.com. And get in on Circa Survivor, Circa Millions. And let me know what you do, because I'm trying to win some millions too. Last game up. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road. No, they're at home. I'm sorry. I said that too fast. New Orleans is on the road. New Orleans is on the road going to play OKC. OKC is up 1-0 in the series. New Orleans covered the last game. OKC got the win outright. Line opened up at OKC -8.5. It's down to OKC laying 7.5 to 11.5. I'm sorry. 211.5 is the total. That's dropped from 213.5. For the Pelicans, no Zion this game. Expect to see CJ, Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy, Jonas Valanciunas as in game one. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, SGA, Josh Giddey, Lu Dort, Jalen Williams, and Chet going to keep that same lineup going. No injuries for them. Alrighty here. We have New Orleans and OKC. Pretty good game in the first game around. What are you doing here laying 7.5 with OKC?
Yeah, I don't know what my takeaway should be from game one, because both teams look terrified at the moment. Oklahoma City makes sense. It was the first playoff game for a lot of those guys. So you're assuming that they're going to look sharper as the series goes on, because once they get more comfortable, they'll be able to figure it out. New Orleans really should have had that game. And just a lot of dumb decisions down the stretch. Willie Green not using Valanciunas for the last couple of minutes, even though he was their best player, I think, in game one. And he just sat on the bench in the crunch time. And Larry Nance was okay, I guess, in game one. But yeah, I think it makes sense why the totals, why the line is actually dropped for the spread. But I really don't have much. I have a hard time trying to figure out if I think Oklahoma City shows up for this game, or if I think that New Orleans is a bad matchup because of how much size they have. They out rebounded Oklahoma City by 8. They dominated the boards. They shot 28% from 3. Oklahoma City only shot 31% from 3. The Pelicans, though, only shot 38% from the floor. Like that's the problem I run into here. Both teams shot the ball terribly. I'm going to lean to the under in the game. I think New Orleans has to keep it in the half court, and I do think they want to use their size. So I do think that it's going to go under the total. That's my main play for this game. I think for the sake of game two, I'm going to lean to Oklahoma City. I don't feel great about it. I'm probably not going to bet it, but I do think Oklahoma City had some first playoff experience nerves, and that definitely got to them early in that game. Even late in that game, I think they made like two shots in the last 6 minutes. It was Shea who had a couple of nice shots. He had an and one in there too. But at the end of the day, I think I just trust Shea and Dagnall more than Brandon Ingram, McCollum, and Willie Green down the stretch. Like I think the spread is going to be
trust Willie Green.
Flux. I don't know if I do after what I saw in game one. But the point is, I do think this spread's going to be in flux throughout the game. You could probably get a better line in play. It would not shock me if the Thunder dropped to like 4.5 at some point and maybe you could get a better line. I'm going to lean to OKC, though. I think they'll look a lot sharper, especially offensively. I'm going to chalk up most of their struggles to first playoff game for a lot of these guys, first overall game action in like a week, and I think they'll look sharper. So I'm going to lean to OKC. I don't feel great about it, but I'm still going to count it. By the way, ZSA, Shea was technically in the playoffs beforehand. He was, what, a bench player on the Clippers?
No. No, I'm pretty sure he played. He was alongside Chris Paul in that OKC versus Rockets series.
He said before the bubble. That was in the bubble. Wasn't that in the bubble? That's when they lost to Harden.
That was in the bubble. I thought that was what he's talking about.
They were in the bubble. That was the
Either way, Shea has playoff experience, but I get what you're saying. I get what y'all are saying. Shea has technically been in playoffs, but this is a different level of Shea. We haven't seen this level of Shea in the playoffs.
They have expectations. They were the damn one seed. I just feel like they came in a little bit nervous and shaky, and they scored 17 points in the first quarter. So I'm going to lean OKC. I think you can get a better line in play at some point.
Okay, he was talking about the bubble.
He was.
He did say before. Yeah, he did say before in the bubble. But yeah, I got what he was saying. I felt like he was talking about
the Lou Dort game 7. It's also different because there's no crowd atmosphere, and now you're in OKC. Like it's different. It's tough to really evaluate the bubble. But yes, that is true. I'm going to lean OKC. My favorite play is the under, though. I think New Orleans has to actually slow the pace down, use their size, rely on second chance points, because you know the shot selection with Ingram and McCollum are going to be atrocious. So you're going to have to just really crash the glass and try to dominate the boards. I'm going to lean under. I see another rock fight.
Okay. So I feel pretty confident in saying that I'm on, and I'm more than likely going to end up locking up OKC -7.5 here. I think that was New Orleans' best shot. That game one was the best shot that they have because I don't trust CJ McCollum. I'm at the point where I don't trust Brandon Ingram. They out-rebounded the Oklahoma City Thunder 52-44 in that game. Jonas Valanciunas was amazing. And they lost. This is going to be the game where OKC just... I might do an all spread on OKC. This is going to be the game where OKC pulls away. And it's like, oh, they had the close first game, and then, you know, the home team figures it out, and it's kind of just a blowout, and it's a 2-0 series, and you're going back to New Orleans saying, all right, well, we're at home. Don't really like the Pelicans on the road. They've been, you know, under the Willie Green Association and just this group of players. They've been questionable on the road at times. And I think that this is a situation where they understand how big this game is as the one seed. You need to go 2-0 against the 8. You have to go 2-0. You have to. And I think that they do. I think that everybody's clicking on all cylinders. And honestly, OKC just hits every shot tonight. That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to see another version of Shea. I don't think that the rebound margin is going to go all the way to New Orleans, even though they do have the size. I'm expecting to see the adjustments and for them to make that margin a little bit closer. The fact that they had an 8 plus 8 on the rebounds and they still lost. I don't think it's in the cards for New Orleans. I don't think it's in the cards. I think that was the best game that we're going to get from them on the road. They may win a game at home, but on the road, I think that's the best performance we're going to get. This is ugly. This is a blowout, and they handle business. So I think this is OKC -7.5. I understand where the money is coming from, but yeah. Total 211.5. I'm on under.
I told you I'm on the under. Game one was a rock fight. New Orleans has to make it ugly. It's not as drastic as the Heat having to make it ugly against the Celtics, but you can argue that the Pelicans really just can't afford to let the Thunder, who are younger, and just get up and down the court. They have to use their size, they have to be physical, and they're going to have to try to force the game in the half court, because they really got the exact script they needed for game one. Mm-hmm. They shot 38% from the floor. Like, they had the game sitting right there for them. I don't see them changing anything. Valanciunas might play more in this game. He dominated. That's why I'm still annoyed at Willie Green for not bringing him back into the game in the final couple minutes. I have to like the under in this game. New Orleans has to make it as ugly as possible.
All right. Player props. Sign me up for Trey Murphy again. It's probably the only person on that team that I can trust. I love that guy. Fully with confidence. So sign me up for North Carolina's own Trey Murphy one more time. We can... Oh, yeah. Of course, I'm down on Shea and Thunder again. But... Yeah. But today, I think I want Isaiah Joe. I think I want some action on Isaiah Joe. Because, again, I think this is a blowout. I feel pretty good about this being a blowout. And I think that these guys on the bench are going to get some extra time, some extra opportunity. So I think I would take an Isaiah Joe threes play today. Or maybe a Cason Wallace too, but I'm going to stick
with Isaiah. His threes are at 1.5. The over is plus 136.
Yes, I think that he's going to get way more time today, more opportunity. And I really just don't think – I think that really ripped their heart out that they lost that game. I don't think they're going to bounce back from that. Call me one of the 40%, it looks like, that is betting on OKC. One of the 40%. But I don't think that they're going to bounce back from that. I think that was their best shot. And now OKC is about to punch them in the fucking mouth.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to take. Because I do agree with you about Trey Murphy. I like the Joe play at like plus 136. That's great value. Giddey was useless in game one. The question is, do I think he can actually be used in the series? I don't know. Because he went 1 for 6. He only played 20 minutes, but we know he can't shoot. And I feel like you mentioned Joe, it might be correlated, but I feel like you need another shooter on the floor, especially if Valanciunas is going to be sitting in the middle, or Nance is going to be sitting in the middle. You need spacing. Just simply put, I feel like Giddey might just have a bad matchup in the series because he's not going to stretch the floor and he needs the ball in his hands, and we know Shea's going to have the ball in his hands. So...
You play Kenrich Williams and Jalen Williams for guys like that, guys that can help space the floor, shoot the three ball pretty solid. So
even defensively, they give you size. I don't think Giddey's a great defensive player. So I don't mind the under on Giddey potentially in this matchup. I just think it's a bad overall series for him. I am wondering if there is another player that I want to go to. I know Chet Blocks was solid in game one. I don't know if I want to go back to it, but I think he had five.
I would play Chet rebounds at 9.5 at plus 106. He has to rebound basketball. Like, they have to be in the back saying, yo, you got to do fucking something. And he did. He got 11 in that first game. It was just overshadowed the fact that Valanciunas had 20, but he still had 11 rebounds that first game. So I would definitely get down on Chet rebounds at 9.5. I think he has to rebound basketball.
Yeah, I don't know why Larry Nance rebounds are at 5.5. He had 8 in game one. Whether he should or not, he's closing a lot of these games. Is the argument that Valanciunas is going to get played more because he had 20 rebounds in game one? Because...
I mean, you can make the argument that Valanciunas is still a liability. Like, even though he rebounds the basketball, like, you can make the argument of even though he rebounded the basketball well for us this game, he's still a liability, and that's why Nance has gotten more playing time. I'm with you. I could get down on more Larry Nance props for sure.
5.5, though. Like, Nance is still probably going to play.
It's not even juice.
20 minutes to change. I mean, he played 19 minutes in game one. He had 0 fouls. He was 4 of 6. I mean, people remember his shot against, Chet that got blocked late in that game in the last minute or so. But he's a member of the closing unit. Whether he should be or not, separate story. But I do think Nance's rebounds, he had 4 offensive rebounds alone last game. The Thunder can't rebound. I think Nance 5.5 rebounds is worth consideration.
Yeah. Whoa, there goes my ring light. All right, let's see here. Anything else? I don't think so. Just throwing out there, Kendrick Williams rebounds is at plus 125 over 2.5. He had 3 in the first game.
Okay.
So just throwing it out there. Again, another guy that has 6'6", but pretty good rebounder in the basketball. Going to help stretch the floor. He's probably going to be on the floor a little bit more in this game. He only did that. He did that in 9 minutes too. which is crazy. I expect him to get more than 9 minutes because I think the Thunder are going to beat the shit out of the Pelicans today. All right, let's get into it. Lock, dog, underdog lineup. Two games on the slate, not many options for my lock. Or do I want to make them my dog? Nah, I'll make them my lock. Give me OKC laying 7.5.
Okay.
I think this is zigzag theory, but I think this is zigzag theory not in the terms of wins, losses, but in the terms of the Pelicans were in a game that they probably shouldn't have been in. They got out to an early lead, and I think now OKC settles in, and they control this from start to finish. They control this from the beginning to all the way to the end, and the Pelicans just kind of get punched in the mouth with, like, dang, I thought we could really compete with these guys, and they realize that they can't. They're actually a very lukewarm team that I was down on in the beginning, and I'm going to continue to be down on them in the playoffs. I just like them in that first game because they just came out to play in. OKC hadn't played in a while, and it ultimately ended up winning, and we covered the spread. I'm not backing them again. Give me OKC, lay a 7.5. That's my lock. For my dog, do I just go all in on Caleb Martin? I know I mentioned him today. I would love to take Bam, but that never works out for me.
And it does support your season-long trend, though, of fading the Celtics.
I know. But it would just be my luck. So I feel pretty okay about that, but I'm not going to take that. Do they not have a... What? They don't even have a 15-plus for Caleb Martin, only 10? That's lame. I think he's better than that. Whatever. I'll take Caleb Martin, 10-plus points, plus 165. It's not, you know, it's not a 2-to-1 dog, but it's still a pretty juicy dog price. So plus 165, Caleb Martin for 10-plus points because he's had really good games against them, and they really tried him last game. They really tried him for something that wasn't his fault. And so now they need to find a scoring option, and he has the talent to be able to do it. So 10 points, he can get it for me. Caleb Martin, plus 165.
Yeah, I think for the lock on the show, I'm going to go with the under in that Thunder game at 211.5. I think New Orleans has to make the game ugly. We've seen the totals have been off in a lot of these playoff games where you're expecting to see two high-powered offenses potentially go at it. And then the game turns into an absolute rock fight in the half court. We saw with the Clippers game yesterday where the game was disgusting the entire way through. Saw it in game one of this series. I see a similar story here. New Orleans has to make the game as slow as possible. Their best chance of winning is to be in the half court, let Valanciunas, Nance, all these guys out-rebound the Thunder by a wide margin, get second chance points, kill the pace, force OKC to execute in the half court. I see a pretty similar story here. I think that New Orleans is going to stick with the exact same game plan and hope they make shots. That's kind of what I expect, and I think that's going to result in another ugly game. Give me the under to 11.5 as my lock. For my dog, I am curious where I want to go with this one. I thought about maybe taking an all-to-rebounding line on Larry Nance Jr. I thought about it. I don't know if there's anything I like in the actual Celtics game. If I want to go for DeLon Wright 10-plus points, that could be tempting. I want to actually see what that line is. Do you have DeLon Wright 10-plus points?
I am looking for DeLon Wright, and I do not see DeLon Wright.
I was just wondering. I don't even see
a prop on him.
Okay, I see 10 points for DeLon Wright's 260. The question is, do I actually want to take it, or would I rather take Nance rebounds? I think I'd rather have Nance rebounds if I had to pick between the two of them. Let me just see what I can get for rebounds on Nance. I mean, he had 8 in game one with 4 offensive rebounds in 19 minutes. Valanciunas, we know, can sometimes get into foul trouble if he struggles defensively. Even in a blowout, you might see Nance get some run time. But you can find Nance over 7.5. Actually, no, it's 6.5 rebounds is plus 145. Give me Nance over 6.5 rebounds at plus 145.
I might get down on the right threes.
Okay.
Might.
I don't mind that right play, though.
One is like minus 160. So what am I getting for two? Like,
it was mentioned before in the chat. I have to just see what it was. I think three was like 950. I forgot what two was. It's got to be in like the 2 or 3 to 1 range, I think.
All right. Underdog fantasy. and then let's get up out of here.
Okay.
Let's see here. All right. Who do we want to get down on for underdog today?
I mean, how obscure are the options? Like, do they have DeLon Wright? Do they have all these, like, role
players? They do have a DeLon Wright. They have 5.5. They have a lot of DeLon Wright props. I actually think that's kind of sus. I'm not going to lie to you. When do we ever... I guess it's the playoffs, but that's kind of sus. We don't ever get DeLon Wright props.
It's solely for playoffs. They give you extra options, so.
All right, DeLon Wright, 5.5 points. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. By the way, unrelated, Larry Nance Jr. double-double, 16-1. I might throw something on that. 16-1 at 8-8.
I'm going to play that. 19-1. I'm going to play that next game when they're at home.
Okay. Just saying, it's not bad.
Yeah, I'm going to play that next. Now that you said it, I'm committed to memory. I'm going to play that next game when they're at home. I just don't trust
them. Root for foul trouble. You know, maybe the refs start calling some stuff and Valanciunas is in foul trouble. You're in a decent spot. So,
all right, let's see. Let me get this Isaiah Joe 1.5 3-pointers made, 1.2x spicy.
I'm in.
And
do we think that's correlated to Giddy or no? Because we can take a lower on Giddy and a higher on Joe.
Let's do it.
All right.
Screw Josh Giddy. All right. How do we want to fade him? Do we want to fade him points, rebounds, and assists? Points and assists.
I mean, I think we're going to be fading Giddy entirely, right? Because he's just not going to play many minutes.
So 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists lower?
I mean, he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists in the first game. So, yeah, I'm in for it. Because even if he has a decent scoring game, he still might not get the rebounds or the assists. We're expecting a low-scoring game anyway. There might not be as many assists to be had. So I think I would just fade Giddy entirely and just take the lower on everything. So I like the PRA lower. Or the par lower. The par lower we'll take.
Very unconventional. I will say this is a very unconventional underdog lineup.
That's good though.
Yeah, it is. DeLon Wright higher, 5.5 points. Isaiah Joe higher, 1.5 3-pointers made. That's 1.2x spicy, by the way. Hey, Josh Giddy lower, 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists. That's going to pay 7.2x, Scott. So for $25, you're going to get $180. $50, you're going to get $360. So on and so forth. Anything else for people before we get up out of here?
No, it's kind of weird having two games, but of course you have the extra day off for travel. So they're trying to stagger out the actual schedule so we always have games. Not the greatest NBA slate today. You have both 1-8 matchups. It is what it is. We'll get better games in the future.
The one that people don't think is going to be a blowout, that one's the blowout today. Let's go, OKC. Okay. All right. Make sure you like the video on the way out. All my YouTube people, give us a like before you get up out of here. And for anybody else that's listening via podcast, make sure you give us a 5-star rating and review. That code NBA SGPN is that underdog fantasy code at the top of the screen. Make sure you use that when you're putting in your underdog fantasy lineup. New customers get 100% deposit match up to $100. And after all of that, I have nothing else to say, nothing else to do. No other way with any of the podcast. Just going to end it like this. We are out of here. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.